Makeshift Stories will be expanding a bit over the next few months into 3 series of stories. These will all be posted in our main feed. We'll be continuing on with the other story, a somewhat loosely connected adventure that follows the unwitting crew of the Hypernova, adding a new near-fictional world called Way Station, where things are powered by steam. And, as time permits, we hope to be presenting short 1- and 2-page stories written by us, our friends, and listeners, collectively called Somewhere, Sometime. Details on how you can participate in creating these short stories will be up on our website in the next few weeks, which we are also hoping to redesign. Tonight we present our first short story in the Somewhere, Sometime series, based on a tale that David and I made up when he was about 6 years old.
Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
So sit back, close your eyes, and open your imagination as we listen to episode 22. Somewhere and sometime, there might have been a little boy who loved candy just a little too much. Peppermint, cinnamon, vanilla, and butterscotch danced enticingly under Marco's nose, making his nostrils twitch in anticipation, while he imagined a buttery soft mint chocolate square melt in his mouth, taking him to the intoxicating heights of a sugary ecstasy. He dreamed of fields of peppermint candy sticks with jello-y mint-flavored leaves, waiting in the syrupy yellow comforting heat of a midsummer day for him to arrive. This was his secret garden that could only be found by eating an elusive cherry licorice trail visible just to Marco. Cathalion dreamed, too, of sweet peppermint-flavored treats irresistibly finding their way to him, like bees to a magnificent flower. Then Marco woke from his dream, hungry. He was always hungry. Marco had an appetite for candy that could not be quenched. It was legendary in his town. Marco craved candy from sunup to sundown, and sometimes he'd even sleepwalk into neighbors' houses in a desperate search for just one more bite. Fed up, the townspeople finally forced Marco's parents to lock all their doors and hide their keys each night so they would not be woken by his nocturnal foraging and munching. So now he dreamed. Every day Marco's parents tried to make him stop, and every night Marco dreamed of fields of peppermint at the end of the elusive licorice path. And Cathalion dreamed a dream of talking treats he had yet to meet, and to eat, and sometimes their dreams even mixed. Peppermint fields and candy drones, bound by licorice tendrils. To put it mildly, Marco liked candy more than anything else in his life. He was a bit obsessed. He ate and he ate and he ate it non-stop. And he asked for it, requested it, pleaded for it, and demanded it until his parents usually gave in. And he grew, and he grew. At first taller, then wider and wider. He ate all the candy his parents could afford. Then one day set off to the candy store, where the frightened proprietor ran away as soon as he heard he was coming. Some townsfolk claimed you could smell Marco as he passed, a mixture of peppermint, butterscotch, and vanilla that seemed to cling to him in ways that perfume never could. Marco eagerly abandoned his parents' house to take up permanent residence in the candy shop, where he ate and ate and ate and grew until he filled the entire store. And although the candy quickly ran out, the delivery trucks kept coming for fear that if the store was empty, Marco would follow them home. His shape and texture soon achieved the consistency of a marshmallow, and no one could make him move. So he ate, propelled by a dreamlike desire he couldn't stop. He ate sweet tarts and candy corn, gummy bears and Mentos, He munched on wine gums and dum-dums, roller ranchers and popcorn candy. Took a break with jelly beans and dreamed his dream of peppermint fields, mixed with mysterious visions of an unquenchable appetite for... For what? For something he had never tasted. For something he couldn't remember. Then he'd wake up more ravenous than ever and start on gummy bear and kisses, walnut whips and fizzing strawberries that melted away on his tongue, making him want more and more and more. And soon, his great mass broke through the walls of the little shop, while he yelled,
"More! More!"
at the top of his lungs.
"More! More candy canes! More jelly babies! More licorice!"
making the townspeople cower in fear. Some meekly came forward offering carrots and trying desperately to convince the boy who now filled most of the street that he had to stop for their sake, if not his own. With the casual sweep of a giant pudgy arm, he angrily pushed them away, hurtling the villagers through the air like so many paper cutouts. After that, they kept their distance, and the trucks of candy from the surrounding towns recklessly dumped their loads on the now sticky street before scurrying off to safety. Until one day, there was no more candy to be had. Anywhere. He jumped up and down, screaming for more, causing a minor earthquake that some say dropped the level of the town by a whole meter. And he finally fell into a fitful sleep of ravenous craving, mumbling so loudly in his dreams that farmers on the other side of the valley could hear his unconscious pleas for chocolatey limes and sherbet lemon. No one slept for days. Then, as if by magic, a braided cherry licorice rope arrived one morning with the dew, casually winding its way through the deserted streets, down the wooded hill on the edge of town, and out of sight. The alluring, subtle smell of cherry candy slowly wormed its way into Marco's dream, twisting through his sleeping mind, finding his consciousness, then baiting it to the surface. Marco woke with a start. Momentarily, he was consumed by a fervid desire. Then, remembering, he sniffed the cool morning air and forced his great donutty body to painfully realign to the fragrant scent that caressed his nostrils. With the delight of someone seeing what they dreamed for, Marco spotted the licorice trail. The ground shuddered and Marco jittered, with the Herculean effort of a great ancient beast rising to hunt for food. The noise woke up everyone in town as Marco, now on long disused hands and knees, began to slurp up the tantalizing trail. It tasted so good, so rich. Better than anything Marco had ever had before. On hands and knees, struggling to overcome his great girth, he so ever slowly dragged himself out of town, following the deliciously hypnotic rope, like a giant whale following a particularly tasty stream of plankton or small fish. Cathalian's sleep was light and broken, filled with dreamy, disturbing images of sweet treats, large, unimaginably large treats ripened to perfection under his suggestive direction, getting bigger and better in every dream. The treat was finally rolling through the fields, drawn by his hungry desire. It was a dream he willed himself to dream every night, waking in the middle, only to find himself back in space, hungry, drifting, looking for weeks on end for the field that the treat dreamed of too. His ship landed with a harsh jolt that made his more than ample tummy shake like jelly. That was it, he thought. He was craving jelly, a whole ship full of peach jelly, laced with chunks of chocolatey treats. His mouth watered at the thought as he opened the hatch to release the lure. Marco munched his way downhill, gaining speed at a rate that would have concerned anyone else, but barely pushed him forward fast enough to satisfy his ever-expanding appetite. It was eerily like his dream. growing stronger and stronger, the wonderful, irresistible smell of his secret peppermint field drove all other thoughts but one from his mind. Eat. He must get to that amazing field and eat. The thought was so strong, and the smell of peppermint so intoxicating, that Marco didn't notice the large, sleek, silver shape that should not have been there at the end of the sugary path. Nor did he notice the large open door that the licorice spilled out of. Like a great cruise liner unable to turn, Marco plunged through the oval-shaped opening, getting stuck in the process. The smell of peppermint was impossibly strong, but the impact with the opening revived Marco enough to hear the smacking of alien lips. The ship shuddered as the delicious, irresistibly scrumptious treat tried to push its way into the hatch. It was larger and puffier than Cathalion could have ever imagined, and it was stuck halfway into his ship, the treat's massive bulk too large to get any further. And there it squirmed, ravenously sniffing the air. In fear, Cathalion pressed himself against the cool carbon wall furthest from the hatch. A shrill electronic scream from an alarm clock pierced the air, making the walls melt away. The twins reluctantly began to stretch out the stiffness of the night.
"Boys, it's time to get up. It's late."
Still recovering from their dreams, Marco and Christian didn't immediately answer.
"Come on,"
prodded the voice.
"It's your birthdays. We've hidden your favorite candies and treats all over the house. We're going to have a treasure hunt."
Marco and Christian looked at each other and then yelled together.
"No thanks. Do you have any carrots?"
Thanks for listening to episode 22, The Boy Who Loved Candy. We hope you enjoyed the story, and if you like it, please remember to tell your friends about us or send us an email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com. or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative license, so that means feel free to pass each episode around. Just don't alter it, and remember to credit us. Our opening theme music, Glimpses of Happiness, and our prologue and closing music, Vangelis Blues, is PodSafe music licensed through premiumbeat.com. Please remember to look in your podcatcher in the last week of February for our regular monthly episode.